Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello? Are we live? Is this
it's live, pal?
Hey, we're good, and we're all here. Holy crap, this is not a mirage. All three of your hosts that are like scheduled to be here like every Saturday are here. Rick Uccino, Iridian Friero, Crest of the Star. The gang is back together, reunited. And it feels so good here on a Saturday night. It's November 2nd. I feel like the last time all three of us were here was July 2nd. But regardless, we are here. We are ready to rock and roll. We are ready to talk about AEW Collision tonight. And ladies, my goodness, this was a packed show for us. Feels like they wasted no time. They were moving from like one different thing to the next on this show. There's a lot we got to break down tonight. But ladies, it has been a hot minute since we've all been here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Like, it may have been July 2nd. Like, I'm not being that facetious. Iridian, I've missed you. How are you?
I've missed you too, Rick. I'm doing so well. Thank you so much. How are you? How have you been? Literally, like you said, I think it's been months. Since we've all been back together.
It's
but.
Been a ridiculous long, I messed it up, but you know what I was going for.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculously long time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Not tired. Just the same. I've been tired. That's about it. That's all I can really say, but I'm up. I've got two cups of coffee and about 2 liters of Diet Dr. Pepper that got me through this show. I should be wired and ready to go for the next, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour or so, however long it takes all three of us to get in through this program tonight. Make sure to send in your super chats. Make sure to send in your humper chats like Matthew Hooks here says, women started and finished the show. Good stories tonight. It was almost like TK knew we were all going to be here tonight because, yes, we did get women's matches to start off and end the show tonight. I'm never going to complain when the ladies are in the main event. Mariah May defending her AEW Women's Championship against Anna Jay tonight. But let's start off with the coronation, so to speak, here, ladies, of Private Party. They get introduced as the new AEW Tag Team Champions after they beat the Young Bucks on Wednesday. They came out to celebrate. Isaiah Cassidy said he swore on his mama that they were going to win these belts this year. And boy, oh boy, the clock almost struck midnight on them, but they got it done in the month of October. You know, Mark Quinn put over the Young Bucks for making them a better team. And then they said, hey, look, we are ready for anybody and everybody, including FTR. They stepped right up to those guys. Then the Outrunners had to kind of step in to make sure that there was no physicality going here. This was all about, you know, celebrating Private Party and the end of the Young Bucks reign. What do you, Cresta, what do you make of Private Party now, 5 years in, becoming the AEW tag team champions? Because there were a lot of people who said this probably should have happened at WrestleDream. I honestly look at that WrestleDream match like the Acclaimed at All Out a few years back, where they had that really, really hot crowd in Chicago behind them, and everybody said they should have won that match when they were going up against Swerve and Our Glory, and then that propelled them to winning the tag team belts just a few weeks later. I feel like this was the exact same scenario that happened here. Private Party showed up and showed out against the Young Bucks at WrestleDream, and that catapulted them to winning this week.
No, totally agree. It's about damn time. Private Party is one of those homegrown talents, and me and Iridian have been lamenting about it. Even you, Rick, like Private Party, especially the Dark Order now, they've been deserved something like this. I am beyond happy. But I also would like to say, the more and more the Outrunners are on my screen, the more and more I fall in love with them. When this man said, if you're anything like I am, and I know I am, or wait, let me read it. He said, I wrote it down verbatim. If you're anything like me, and I know I am. I was like, yo, say no more, champions. I know you just won Private Party, but it's time already. This was fantastic. This is what it needed to be. I'm so happy for Private Party. Calling out FTR is so smart, because I know people always have something to say about a young team like Private Party. Honey, season, and they're going to do what you need. Okay, if you beat an FTR, shut up. So I'm happy for them. I hope they have a long reign. Lose to the Outrunners at your leisure, though. Iridian, yeah. What did you think about this?
I'm on the same boat with you. Yes, absolutely. I am so excited that Private Party finally has their moment, right? We've been talking about this for months, years even, that like, come on, let's give Private Party something to work with. Like, let's do it. And yeah, while they are a young team, I do think that that just means that there's so many opportunities for them in the division. Like you said, they called out FTR, and you know FTR is going to do them service. Like, they are going to do a good job. It's going to be a great match. And the Outrunners are also making me crack up, because they were the first people that I noticed in the ring when the show started.
How could you not?
Oh my God. Here we go. We're going to get the Outrunners. And then it was just Private Party Celebration, which everyone was there for. I think they cleared out the backstage locker room for that one. But well-deserved of a Private Party. And then hopefully Outrunner soon. That's going to be after FTR, hopefully.
Like you said, at your leisure.
Y'all remember just like a couple of months ago, we were sitting here like talking about the tag team division, and it was kind of stagnant. Like, all it was Young Bucks and FTR and the Acclaim mixed in. And we're like, needs a new direction. It feels like we have finally gotten that facelift now, and putting the tag team titles on Private Party. And now we're starting to see new teams emerge. I think, Brian Cage and Lance Archer have something, and we're going to talk about them coming up here in a little bit, but I think there is something there. Maybe, and there's enough teams there. The Outrunners, obviously, as we mentioned, are stepping up in a big way. It feels like Tony Khan is definitely, he has the confidence in his tag team division. The fact that the Young Bucks are going to be taking some time away, and maybe even here now, the Acclaimed is there a riff between the Acclaimed here, because we get a backstage segment with them where they say they are ready for a shot at Private Party, but are they really? Because you had Max Caster interrupting Anthony Bowens in this one, and then you had Bowens repeating the same thing and then questioning why Max Caster still had MVP's card in his pocket. Clearly, I mean, I'm getting some New Day, you know, vibes here going on with that guy going on Monday Night Raw, and everybody teasing there, thinking they're about to break up. I'm getting the same kind of vibes here, Iridian, from the Acclaim. Something doesn't smell right. These two ain't on the same page right now.
No, they're not on the same page, and it's about damn time, because I have been waiting for the Acclaim to break up. I have been waiting for a Max Caster just singles run. And same thing with Anthony Bowens. I think that man is a champion.
Yeah.
I don't like the tag team championship for them has sailed. Okay. They need individual championships, championship runs on their own. And I know it seems right now like Max Caster is going to be the first one to jump ship, but I actually think that's going to be Anthony Bowens. And he might be able to be managed by MVP. Like he might join the Hurt Syndicate. And I don't hate that idea. I'm for it. I don't know what you guys think.
No, I'm with you because this is such a weird marriage because I feel like Max Caster is like a natural heel and Anthony Bowens is a lovable babyface, and it's an oil and water marriage that has worked to this point. But yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, this is to steal a sports analogy, the championship window for them is closed. It's time to break up the band. It's time to see what they can do on their own. This is something that, you know, on another network I've been advocating for with the Street Profits for a while now. Like I'm ready to see those two guys on their own. I feel like they're single stars there that are just kind of being held back by being stuck in a tag team limbo. Krista, I feel the exact same way about the Acclaimed right now.
So I gave up hating for Lent. So I'm going to be Opal Optimist right now, but I do Lent? Agree.
It's November 2nd.
You're asking too many questions.
Keep that hate in your heart, girl. Come on.
I gave up hating for Lent. Jeez, let me rock, okay?
Lent's not 120 days.
What if I told you I'm not religious, Rick? And let me have my joke. I don't hate it either. I think we have been screaming for a while that there needs to be an Anthony Bowens extraction plan. But I don't see this as a bad thing. I think Max Caster with MVP would give him that edge that we all have been complaining about. So let's just say if we're all complaining that he needs a gimmick change or just a fine tune here or whatever, MVP is going to make that man tough. And he looks great. He's got the physique to fit in the Hurt business. Anthony Bowens, babyface, not to say to be with like a top flight, but I could definitely see him next international champion. There's a nice space in that mid-card area where Anthony Bowens could then transition into your main card. I like it. I do agree with Rick in that, like our sports analogy, the championship window has sailed. It might be time to see what you guys can do apart. And then, you know, come back, make people miss you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You're never going to know what you have with these two guys as singles competitors until you pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. And see what we got. And if it fails, you can always come back. You can always bring the Acclaim back and everybody will be happy. You know what makes me happy? Kicking off the show with a women's match, especially a Day of the Dead match between Thunder Rosa and Harley Cameron. And you know what? On this show, I will say, we respect women on this show as tough individuals who don't need a man for nothing. But sometimes we all need a hand. And I just want to say props to the fan who is in the front row who helped Thunder Rosa get up onto the barricade when she needed tonight. That man was an absolute gentleman. She still ended up crashing into the damn barricade, but props to that guy. I just wanted to give him a shout out. I thought this match was a ton of fun. It ended up finishing with Thunder Rosa. Anytime she can kind of do that ramp up, jump, shotgun, drop kick, do it. Do it every single time. I don't care if every hardcore match she is in ends in the same way. It looks beautiful when she does it. I thought this was a blast. I thought the right woman went over. What'd you think, Iridium?
I thought this was so exciting to watch. Like, literally, it was anything goes. And the fact that it was like the Dia de los Muertos vibes, I loved it. Harley was also wearing her face paint. 10 out of 10. That moment where Thunder Rosa was just running up that table was insane. Like, it was so beautiful. And the fact that she dropkicked Harley in that corner with the trash can on Harley, it was just so good. It was just so good. It was a fun match to start off. And it was a tough one. Like, you got to see these women really go. And that's something that I loved.
Yeah, I got to agree with Matt in the chat here. I took the words right out of my mouth. The improvement that Harley continues to show, like, she's just another one of these girls who's really kind of coming up in the women's division and continues to build on that depth there, Krista.
When I tell you this match had no right being this good, Harley, no, I'm so, first of all, Thunder Rosa, that gear, that body paint. Oh, she's
fire. Absolute fire.
Girl, she cleared eight. She came She wrestled, she served cunt, and she died. It was so good. It was so, I have to sing those praises. Also, Harley Cameron, like you said, the improvement from week to week to week. This girl, like, I don't want to sound a little cheesy, but I kind of want her in the TBS title. Say, not right now. Like, she's improved so much, and her character is just so crazy. I couldn't even describe you what her character is, but it fits because she fits in a comedy match, a hardcore match like this. That spot where she hit Thunder Rosa with the pinata was comedy, but it was so good. Yeah. She was in the trash can, that shotgun. You couldn't pay me to take that, and she took it like a champion. I'm not mad at it. This match was a lot of fun. That visual of Thunder Rosa running up that ramp, it couldn't be me, but I'm glad it was somebody because I was sports entertained.
We got a super chat here from Ten Ruza. Thank you so much. Love the trio being back. Great show tonight. Pump for Dynamite and Full Gear. Women were fire, and Mina is coming. So happy that we have the Hurt Syndicate, MXM Collection, and Johnny is perfect. Loving Garcia, too. Yeah, there's a lot that we got to dive into on this one. I am excited for the MXM Collection and Johnny TV for sure. And also more Mina Shirakawa on my TV anytime, anywhere, any place, please, for the love of God. We had Brian Cage and Lance Archer backstage, tough talking, the Undisputed Kingdom. We will get to Brian Cage and Lance Archer coming up. But arguably, match of the night for me, ladies. Holy shit, Commander was on one tonight. My God. He and Kyle Fletcher just absolutely tore the house down. Although there was one spot that Commander had early on in this match that like literally pissed me off. And it's when he's like, he's got Kyle Fletcher and he's just doing his like twinkle toes routine on the frickin' on the ropes, and he's just jumping back and forth and showboating. And I'm just like, will you please punch that man? And then he did. And I'm like, good for you, Kyle Fletcher. You are the smartest man in this match right now, because that is exactly what his dumbass deserves for doing that. So that spot popped me. But then the whole Poison Rana drop out of the ring spot that those guys did, flawlessly executed. Commander with the springboard top rope code red, like just good God, the stuff that these guys did. Fletcher wins it with an avalanche brain buster, but I mean, holy crap, Iridian. This was insane tonight. These two guys.
Yeah. Yeah, if you had a match that was going to follow up that amazing women's match, it was definitely going to be this one. Kyle and Commander are so like tied in their skill level and their entertainment that it was just incredible. That Poison Rana that you mentioned, when they hit the outside of the ring, I was gagged. I was like, maybe I need to pause. Maybe I need a moment for me because I can't breathe. And I'm sure they couldn't breathe either. Like, it was insane. And that's just beautiful. That Commander can walk on those, on that top rope and then fly to the outside. It's just beautiful. I love seeing him wrestle. Anytime I get to see him, it's incredible. I was talking to you a little bit before the show started because I had missed a couple of collisions before because we haven't been on, and I've also missed a Dynamite, and then Kyle has no hair anymore.
Mother, he's bald.
He's bald. He comes out. No Don Callis, no hair, no pants. Because now he's wrestling in trunks. So I was like, this is a whole new Kyle.
I was going to say, please specify that he at least had something on. Okay, yeah.
He had his trunks on, which I'm like, okay.
For those who missed the show, yeah, he did. He was wearing clothes. Anyway,
this is a completely different Kyle, and I don't hate it. I think, yes, I loved his character. I'm very upset that we're not getting Aussie Open, because of course I think we all are now that Mark Davis is back. But I don't know, I think Kyle is in the right direction. I think that he needed something different because Don Callis, I don't know what he was doing with everybody, but now Takeshita got a title, Kyle has no hair, I think we're going somewhere. You know,
we did get a confrontation at the end of this match, Cresta, between Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis. But first off, before we get your thoughts on, you know, that interaction, what did you think of this match?
This was another match that had no right being as good as it did. I feel like sometimes some wrestlers go on a losing streak, especially in AEW. We kind of relegate this as an enhancement, whatever. Unfortunately, Commander has fallen victim to that. This match, though, baby girl, this match was so good. There was one part, though, where Commander, I think, missed the moonsault outside, or he landed outside really gnarly, and I thought this young man was injured. But the way he popped up, I'm like, he's not human. This man is not human. He feels no pain. Kyle Fletcher.
He'll feel it tomorrow. Trust me. I've been there. I was adrenaline's a hell of a drug.
Not the adrenaline in his soul, man. Honestly, that avalanche, whatever it was at the end, that finisher, I audibly said, it was so gnarly looking. This whole match wasn't fantastic. Also, Kyle Fletcher, not putting the knees up, but the feet, disrespectful of the highest order, because there was no way he could block, tuck his chin or anything. That was so gnarly. This match was fantastic. These two matches together, easily, just me sports entertained, like, yes, Tony Khan, yes, this is what I want to see, yes.
Another super chat here from Ten Ruz is saying, super pumped for Kenny Omega at Power Struggle on Monday. I'm excited for Kenny Omega being involved in any way, shape, or form. As an Aussie, it is so good to have Davis back and that fire theme. Rosa is her, and Harley is repping. We appreciate that, Ten Ruz. We also had Just Ricardo chime in. It is Saturday. You know what that means. I'm at work. I'm sorry you're at work, but thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you get to catch up on what was a pretty action-packed and pretty good episode of AEW Collision tonight. It is going to be interesting to see what happens now between Arinian, as you said, Aussie Open not being back, but maybe they Don Callis is just bringing in all sorts of talent now. I mean, why not get Mark Davis involved in this? But it is going to be interesting to see how that relationship works out here. Obviously, we know things are going to be different between Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher now, but where does Mark Davis's alliance truly lie here?
I don't know, but what I'm worried about is the theme song. Okay, who keeps the theme song? I'm hoping that Mark Davis still gets to come out to that theme, just like Jay. You know, he got to keep "It's Just Me, Ooz" day one, and I'm like, okay, that let's do that. I'm worried. Cresta, who do you think he's the song?
I was going to say, is this like who gets the kid in the divorce kind of a thing?
It is a custody battle. I have to agree. Aussie Open, that song is a banger. There's not a lot of bangers nowadays in wrestling. And this one, it's a banger. I don't know what we're going to do with Mark Davis, but I know Kyle Fletcher better not lay a hand on that young man. I love Mark Davis. He's such a sweet baby. Okay, don't. I don't like this new Kyle Fletcher with this Mark Davis. Don't hurt him. And also,
anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So, shout out to Don Callis bringing in everybody. If y'all didn't see for Halloween, I has dressed up like Don Callis.
I actually didn't see that, so I'm gonna have to go back on your timeline. I was a little busy chasing around a 4-year-old Spider-Man all night on Halloween, so I didn't get a chance to check that out there.
Not you being the Doc Ock to Spider-Man.
Shit, God. Good night. I could spend an hour telling you about my Halloween night and chasing that little guy around. Holy crap. Oh, my goodness. Anywho, we had an interesting backstage conversation between Jack Perry. Going to be interesting to see what his direction is now with the Young Bucks kind of going on this hiatus. What?
I literally wrote that down. What are you going to do now, buddy?
Like, I know, like with the Young Bucks not being in the picture anymore, like this whole elite, you know, honestly, same thing for Okada, like this whole elite taking over AEW. It feels like that storyline is now just kind of just been pushed off and transferred over to the BCC and John Moxley with him being the one to take everything over. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jack Perry. But Daniel Garcia kind of interrupts him as he's going into like his Shakespearean-esque monologue backstage. You know, says that, look, he didn't want to put hands on him this time. He wanted to kind of take a better approach to getting his opportunity at TNT Championship. But Perry cuts him off, says that, believe it or not, they're actually very, very similar. And, you know, everything he believes, you know, basically, you know, he kind of said Garcia's not ready to make the necessary sacrifices, really, to kind of get where he needs to be. Are you buying that already? And what do you make of this this backstage segment here?
I was very sports confused during this backstage segment.
Not the sports confused.
But I was like, oh my God, I have to put my shirt on, my scapegoat tee.
Period. Yeah.
So I was hyped to see Jack Perry. Basically, he told Danny, like, whatever you've done, you know, I've been there, done that, cry me a river. That's what I got out of it. So I don't know what's going to happen next. I think maybe him and Okada got to really like get their lives together and do something, because the BCC is out here running stuff. I don't agree with how they're running stuff, but but we'll get to that later. I don't know what's going to happen now, but maybe Jack needs to get on his bus and start picking people up. I don't know from where you're going to get people.
Brilliant. Oh my God.
You need to start.
Cresta, do we think Danny's going to ultimately take that TNT championship for Mr. Jack Perry now that he doesn't have the elite behind him?
I have to say, yeah, because I don't know what we do. The way that you've built Jack Perry up, I think there is a way to have him keep it, but I don't see how with Death Rider BCC running around. Also, Iridian, not you saying Jack Perry needs to drive on his bus and drive away. Yay, yay. I can't. I cannot. Honestly, I don't know what we do here. I think Garcia should have been won something. He's had a lot of great feuds with people. So if this is a way to transition Jack Perry from the scapegoat or from the elite, I'm for it. But I really think it depends on what are we doing with the elite, because the Bucks took their ball and went home, figuratively and literally.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. We do know that Tony Khan is invested in Daniel Garcia. He just got a huge pay bump. And like I had a chance to ask Tony Khan about that on the Wrestle Dream, you know, media call ahead of the pay-per-view, and just listening to Tony talk about him. Clearly, this was a high priority signing for him. So, I would not be surprised whenever this match goes down. Maybe it happens in a couple weeks at Full Gear. I would not be surprised to see Daniel Garcia finally win a big one and walk away with that that custom made TNT championship that Jack Perry literally forged in his garage. Let's talk about the Sean Smith and Joe Keys Memorial match, named after the very men who competed in it tonight. These guys were murdered by Lance Archer and Brian Cage. At least Sean Smith made me laugh before he died. That scream that he let out before he was slammed down into the ring.
You ain't right, Rick.
Look, he made the most. Look, Sean Smith made an impression on me tonight. That guy went out of his way to sell the ass kicking that came at the hands of the Don Callis family. This Brian Cage Lance Archer team, I'm a fan. Iridian, if finally, how long have we been talking about when the hell are you going to do something with Lance Archer? It finally feels like there is a plan. It finally feels like they're building towards something with these guys. It's going to start off slow. It's going to be a lot of squash matches. It's going to be a lot of, you know, beating the crap out of local talent. I would not be surprised if these are the guys who take the titles off of Private Party sometime down the road.
You are reading my mind, Rick. Okay, let's go back a little bit to the promo that they cut backstage, where Lance was like, bodies after bodies, city after city, like, we got it, okay? I'm sure that's not verbatim what he said, but that's what I got out of it. And why did they not let him talk before? I'm very confused because you see that man on mic and he can go. Like, he can go. Now that he's got his braids back in, Cresta, you and I were talking
was
about.
Was it the braids? It was the braids after all. It was the braids.
It was. And I am so excited because this team makes sense to me. Like, they look like they will ruin your life and ruin your body. Like, in the ring, insane. And this is believable. This team just makes me believe that they can literally ruin all the tag division and they will be tag championships. Champions. I don't know when they're going to do that because, you know, we just started. But I know you mentioned that we can give them squash matches for now, but they've been having squash matches individually. So I think that you can feed them actual teams and people who are signed in AEW. Like Lance Archer, we've talked about for a while that he just gets in there, will have a 2 or 3 second match with somebody from the town. And that's basically what happened tonight. But we can start giving them actual talent who's backstage. We don't have to have people who don't get, I'm so sorry, who don't get an entrance, and then we'll just show up that day. Like, we can believe it now. Like, we see it.
What do you expect out of this team, Cresta?
First of all, I would like to say Joe Keys, that is a superb name. I love a good dad joke. Joe Keys is a great name, number one. Number two, 1000% agree with Iridian. These guys could be your big heel faction, tag team, whatever. And right before Private Party, I hate to say it like this because I love them. You could have them beat up the Outrunners. Everyone would hate them. Everybody would hate them. Everybody would hate them. And no one would bat an eye if, like, the Hurt Hit Syndicate beat them up eventually. Or if they took it off a Private Party at some point, everybody would hate them. Everybody. Because they could beat up Top Flight. They could beat up... Don't tell me.
They could beat up Dark Order. They could literally beat up so many.
Dark Order's Ring of Honor, though.
I mean, I think back and forth.
True. I mean, I'm not saying like to make it squash match. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying to make it a competitive match to give them more than this is what they can do. Just like 1, 2, 3, 5 minute matches. And then if they do beat someone, like I said, like Outrunners, everyone's gonna be like, "Boo, these guys suck." And that's the point. That's the point. That could be Private Party's first big feud of these big lumbering guys who are them. I love them together because, you know, I love a good meat match. But let's book them. You know what I mean? Let's book them. FTR, let them build up to FTR. I'm not saying that they can't beat them because I think that they can. But let them build up to that. Let that be the match after these big meaty guys. You know, let these guys be a menace for a little bit. I believe.
Like, what? These guys, like, Joe Keys is not a small guy. Like, Joe Keys was big. And then he stood next to Lance Archer and Brian Cage, and dude looked like a chicken nugget. Like, he was small next to those guys, which made me feel really, really bad for what was the guy's name? The one who died, Sean Smith. Yeah, it made me feel really bad for that guy because he was like half the size as Joe Keys. Like, it wasn't even fair. That's how big these guys are, though. They can physically dominate anybody on the entire roster. Anybody on the entire roster, they pass the airport test. They're a credible team already.
Okay, and see, that's why it didn't make sense when the Kingdom comes out. I'm like, 2 + 2 is not equaling 4 in this one. You guys are going to get your butts handed to you by them. It didn't make any sense. I was like, this is not believable. You're not going to win. And maybe it's because I don't like the Kingdom. But
no,
like, no, but literally, no. Brian Cage could eat Matt Taven. I understand what you mean.
No, but see, here's the thing. This makes perfect sense because Adam Cole came back as a babyface. So now you have to turn the rest of the Undisputed Kingdom babyface. And that is why they are going to get absolutely piss stomped by these two monsters to build up sympathy behind these guys while Roddy and Adam Cole are fighting their ass off to try to get a shot at MJF. And you had Kyle O'Reilly backstage like nodding going, yeah, those are my boys. The Undisputed Kingdom is about to be whole again. Nature is healing, Cresta. Can't you feel this?
Let me ask you and Iridian a fair and honest question. What about Matthew Taven says I'm a babyface? Answer me quickly.
I know I'm right there with you. I'm not going to feel sorry for the Kingdom.
I'm impossible. I mean,
it all depends on how bad they get beat.
No.
I'm so sorry. There's one person in that group, maybe, that I will be sympathetic towards, and that's Adam Cole. Love Adam Cole. The same thing. Same thing with Kyle O'Reilly, okay? But what happens with Roddy, what happens with Mike and with Matt Taven, it's just not for me. Like, I heels. They're always going to be heels for me. Oh, like, them get beat up, I will pay my money for that. Let's go.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago I felt the same way about FTR. And then, you know, a few months came by and they were getting cheered out of the building. I'm just saying, you never know. It all depends on the creative. It all depends on the creative. Real quick, we got to step aside for just a quick second here.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call up with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew, and the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top. You know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Thank you, Sean. I did want to just bring, I wanted to go back to this before we move forward. Brandon here in the chat had a good point where he said, hey, remember when Mox said he likes Jack Perry? Just saying, that might be, you know, go from one adoptive family to another here. He might end up over on the Death Rider side of things if he is still in the battle for the fight of the soul of AEW. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Make sure to get those super chats in. Make sure to get your humper chats in, guys. That is the guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air before we get out. I promise you, our excellent moderator will make sure that I read every single one of these. Drew is behind me metaphorically with a whip, making sure that I am getting these done. He is cracking it right now. I will not miss one before we get out of here tonight. We had AR Fox backstage with Lexi Nair. He gets interrupted by Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian, and those two have a nice little conversation setting up a match for next week. He also, AR Fox also told the patriarchy not to sleep on Hook after they attacked him. So we'll see that match next week. I want to talk about, though, Chris Statlander, because it's we always love a good ladies' night here on a Saturday night. She had a warning for Mercedes after she beat Camille on Wednesday. She plans on walking in to full gear this year, Iridian, not the champion, but walk out with the TBS title, the reverse of what happened last week. Chris Statlander, kind of an abrupt babyface turn here after everything that they did with Stokely, and they just ended it immediately. I'm interested to see what happens between her and Mercedes. Like, I don't think Chris is going to take the title off of her, but I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if there was anybody on the women's roster right now who got a title opportunity against Mercedes, I think probably Chris Statlander could pull it out. You know, she could pull out a win. But like you said, with her not being managed by Stokely anymore, and then like nothing was ever referenced again with Willow, like I feel like that story just kind of didn't end well for me. Like there was just some still strings that were not tied for me. But I think this is a good move for Statlander. You know, now she's in the championship picture. Now she's also in that like triangle between Camille and Mercedes. So do I think she might win? She's got a chance. I don't think it'll happen, but I also don't want her to be cast aside if she doesn't get that championship that night. And I want her to continue that story with Mercedes, because Mercedes needs more matches. Like I need her to continue putting out those bangers. So let's do that.
Have you ever seen Men in Black? Do you know what a neuralizer is? That's exactly what Tony Khan did with the entire Chris Statlander Stokely Hathaway story there, Krista. It's just like, forget you ever saw it. Yeah, we had a couple of fun little tag matches and they worked well with one another, but I needed Chris Statlander to be a babyface to wrestle Mercedes. I kind of feel like that's what happened here.
Low-key agree. I would like to believe that there maybe is some swerve coming where Willow turns heel and interrupts Statlander in her match. Maybe. I don't know. However, I do agree with Iridian in the sense that Mercedes does need more matches. I enjoy when she wrestles, and I would like to see her wrestle more. Out of everyone on the roster, I want to say, even though Mariah May lost, Anna Jay lost, besides Anna Jay, Chris Statland, I think, is the most worthy, the most credible, and it'll give her a run for her money, unless you want to fight Thunder Rosa. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people she could fight, but I think right now Statlander is fine. And I also agree with Iridian that when Statlander loses, if she wins, I'm not mad at it. And we can have Mercedes move into the main event scene and no shade, take it off Mariah May. But in the event that it doesn't happen and Statlander loses, I don't want Statlander to be cast aside, but don't flip-flop her again after she just turned face. Like, no shade, she's not the Big Show. Like, what are we doing? I want her to I like the heel. I like the face. I also liked her corset. That was everything. So I just want us to be clear with her because she's someone else who's really, really good. And yeah. I don't want her to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. I honestly wish they would have just stuck with her and Stokely as the heel team, to be completely honest with you, and you know, waited a little bit longer to put her back in the title picture with both champions being heels right now, because that team was absolutely working. Just real quick, I noticed in the chat, Tenruza, we did pull up both of your super chats earlier. I don't know if you missed one, but we definitely did bring up both of them earlier on in the chat. So just in case you missed it, just wanted to give you that heads up there. All right, we had John Moxley on the show tonight, and he was not alone. Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta in tow, cutting a promo on his Full Gear opponent. In a couple of weeks, says that Orange Cassidy wants to be king, but it is just not that simple. And, you know, the question is whether or not Orange Cassidy is even going to be able to make it to Full Gear with his body and his mind intact. And then Mox talking a little trash on the city of Philadelphia, says, hey, look, you know, Philadelphia's not all bad, right, though? They've got great people like Wheeler Yuta. Is a true Philadelphia hero. And Iridian, I know you agreed with everything that man said about Yuta.
Absolutely. Wheeler Yuta is the future, okay? I don't know what else to say. Philly was disrespectful after everything Yuta has given them, okay? He's a Ring of Honor pure champion, okay? How dare Philly boo Yuta? And even before Mox had mentioned Yuta, someone in the crowd was like, Yuta, you suck. And I said, excuse me, out loud, okay? Like, I was there.
Disrespectful.
Like, excuse me, how dare you guys? Like, this is rude. But it's just, I don't know. Tonight was just so crazy in between, like, Yuta getting slapped by Mox for not chasing Orange. And then, like, I was like, wait a minute. I don't like this. Like,
yeah, there was. Okay, so Mox is talking all this trash and he's talking up Wheeler Yuta. And then, you know, Action Andretti comes out. And he interrupts and he starts talking on the microphone. And the look on Mox's face was basically like, bitch, who gave you a microphone? Like, why are you talking to me right now? Like, that was the look. And I didn't even think that Action Andretti's promo was bad either. Like, I'm just like, okay, you can talk a little bit. That's cool. Great. But yeah, the reaction that Mox was giving him, I mean, it wasn't a world beating promo or anything like that. He did not like he had great material to work with, but Moxley's just expression sold it completely. And he's like, I want to challenge anybody who's willing to fight from the Death Riders. And of course, Pac comes up from behind him and attacks him. And we get the match. It was a pretty good match. Pac ends up winning though. Obviously, slaps in the Brutalizer after a superplex. Marina Shafir playing a little bit of a role there. So obviously the numbers game worked against Action Andretti tonight. But then we get DC Universe Orange Cassidy showing up, all dark, wearing the black.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. care, and he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Marino thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
He's promising he's going to, one, bring back the AEW title, and then two, he's going to bring back the old Wheeler Yuta Iridian. He's going to bring back Wheeler, and then Moxley's like, go shut this guy up. Wheeler, go out there and shut this guy up. And I really did like the story that Orange started to tell, where he's like, hey, you remember when you were first training, and you remember that I was there? And you remember when, like, you stayed with me, and you remember our roommate, Chuck Taylor. You remember that guy. Like, I don't recognize this Wheeler Yuta. I want to bring back the old Wheeler Yuta. And we got that glimpse of him when Mox said, hey, go kick this guy's ass. And he hesitated. Like, Wheeler has not all the way fully turned to the dark side yet. He's still a conflicted young man. He can still be saved here, Iridian.
Yeah, he hasn't recovered from the trauma, much like I haven't. especially being there and witnessing it live, there was just something about them trying to murder Bryan Danielson and Yuta just being held back, yelling, he was yelling out for everybody. And I was like, this cannot be happening right now. This is ruining my life. But but it was interesting to see, you know, he didn't want to go out there to fight Orange. And then even when he got in front of Orange, he still didn't want to hit him with the chair. And that ended up getting him, you know, laid out on the floor by Orange with that orange punch. But it just, I'm hoping that we are still on the way to get Yuta to be a babyface, because I think that's where they can really have people sympathize with him, and maybe people will stop booing him. I think that's that's where we can go. Yeah. And then, you know, like someone mentioned earlier, that John said that he liked Jack Perry. Maybe you could just switch him out. You know, maybe take in Jack Perry and then Yuta. Yeah. Just a switch.
Have Jack Perry take out Yuta, right? Like, just say, hey, look, you can't commit. I can. Done. Yeah. Simple. And then everybody can cheer Yuta along with Iridian, the president of the Wheeler Yuta fan club. Cresta, what'd you make of all this?
I won't lie. To piggyback on Iridian's point, Wheeler Yuta did all his stuff in AEW Ring of Honor when he was in BCC. He ain't never win nothing when he was with the best friend. So I could understand that. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I will say. However, also that Philly crowd wasn't trying to cheer or boo anybody, because Action Andretti said, I'm from up the way. They said, we don't care. Get out of here. They booed him. They said, we don't care. Get out of here. We do not care. they're going to beat up Yuta when they get back, when they get home. You didn't hit the man when I told you. Like, listen, I'm all for PDA, but this is different. Like, we don't want to see this. We don't want to see this. Like, I don't want to see. That's what it was.
When I was, I went on Twitter and I was like, Philly, how dare you be disrespectful to Yuta? And then I was trying to find a little GIF. One of them was Yuta getting beat up while Mr. William Regal was still there. Do you guys remember, like, in the training montages where they would just beat up Yuta? And I'm like, this is.
Claudia was just slapping him one promo. I'm like, bro, you don't have to involve all of us in this. Like, I feel bad.
And that's what they do to this man on camera. Imagine what's going on behind the scenes.
I asked this question to the both of y'all, because while Jack Perry, I think he might dip his toe, but is this a situation for Jack Perry where it's like Sami Zayn joining the bloodline until you got to do some real gangster shit, and Jack Perry's like, whoa, I was beaming. And if we do this with Orange Cassidy and Mox, does Yuta cost Mox the title? Do we change it soon?
No.
You know what, Jack lit himself on fire, so
that's a good point.
I don't think there's anything he wouldn't do, you know.
Yeah. You're right.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about Jack Perry, and I don't mean this about. I mean this strictly about the character, right? He's a parasite. He's going to attach himself to whoever keeps him alive and keeps him with the TNT championship. So he'll align himself with the Death Riders, with the BCC, until the Elite comes back and he's like, hey, my dogs, what's up? Where'd you guys go? Let's ride. that's what Jack Perry is going to do. So I think it would not surprise me if, man, that would be a hell of a finish if Yuta decides to align himself with Orange Cassidy, and it looks like Orange is about to win the title, and then Jack Perry gets involved and aligns himself with the Death Riders. Like,
that's,
I could
dirty,
get on,
but I love it.
I could get on board. Get everybody's hopes up. Get everybody's hopes up that Orange Cassidy's about to win the championship, and then it's just like, nope, psych, not happening. Because we all know Darby Allin's winning that belt from Jon Moxley. That's the story. That's where this is going. They've been setting that up for months now. I'm sorry, Krista. It's happening.
Hey, I just moved my hat. I didn't say anything.
Oh, my goodness. Man. Backstage, we get Takeshna and Kyle Fletcher. They issue a challenge for Ricochet and a partner of his choosing. Oh, gee, I wonder who he's going to end up choosing on Wednesday. But they also may mention that they want to go after the tag team championship. So Don Callis family, they're just throwing everybody out there in the tag team division. And sooner or later, we may have to have a war of the families here. But we also later on got a, what did they call this? A four-way contender series who will eventually challenge Private Party at Full Gear. So we're getting three matches, three contenders to fill out a fatal four-way match. So we're getting the Outrunners versus Top Flight, FTR versus House of Black, and La Faction and Go, how do you say that, Iridian?
Ingobernable.
Thank you
that
very much.
That word be fucking us all up.
I knew I was gonna, I knew I was gonna mess that up. Anyway, they're gonna lose to the Acclaimed. So, what are we thinking here? Acclaimed, FTR, Outrunners? Is that the direction we're going here?
Who's the Acclaimed?
Or does House of Black get the win there over FTR? We keep FTR away from Private Party for right now until they can do a one on one.
Yeah.
I like that. Who are the Acclaimed against?
The one I couldn't pronounce.
La Faction
en Gobernable.
Period.
You got it. Yeah.
I could see a scenario where they lose that to LFI and somebody turns on somebody else in the Acclaimed.
LFI. I should have just said that from the get-go.
I got you. And I can see MVP coming out and say, hey, listen, I told you, you know, I could see that. I could see that.
Make sure to get those super chats in. Get those humper chats in, guys. We'll be right back.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
All right, ladies, what would a Saturday night be without an L for the premier athletes? We had Leo Rush beating Ari Daivari with a frog splash tonight. Iridian, I thought this was a pretty fun little match. I don't think the outcome was ever in doubt because, you know, premier athletes weren't wrestling in Ring of Honor, so they weren't going to get a win tonight. But nice little win here for Leo Rush.
Yeah, I think it was a great showing for Leo. Nothing too crazy happened in the match, but it was fun to watch, especially after so much drama that had happened before. Two great bangers before that. So I think it was nice to be in the middle this match.
Krista?
This match, I felt that its purpose was for Nigel to get on that commentary and lie to us and say where Top Flight was when Action Andretti was getting beat up that segment before, that everyone was helping Leo Rush prepare for his match. I feel that was the only point. Because I was questioning, where was Top Flight? Doesn't everyone hate the Death Riders? Where's the rest? Did everyone go out and party with Private Party? And here was Nigel McGuinness ready to lie to us. I respect it, but this match was fine, but I had to get that out the way. I see you, Nigel. You're a businessman, but you didn't have to lie to us like that.
Backstage, we had the MXM collection with Lexi, and Johnny TV.
Cinema.
Okay. This was perfect. No notes. Johnny TV said that they have it and they are free to slide into his DMs at any point, Iridian, if they want to collab. This is a marriage made in heaven. Johnny TV and the MXM collection.
This was perfect. I need them to open up a TikTok account immediately, and they will get the people to follow them because this was incredible. The fact that they were like, he was like, oh yeah, message me, DM me, and then we'll collab. Like, that's so influencer talk. I love them. I love them. I honestly can see a world where if Johnny TV wants to settle down and not wrestle as much, like, he could be their manager. That would be incredible because it fits the gimmick. And I couldn't stop laughing. I thought this was so funny. The fact that he got dragged away and then and MXM just lowered
himself. That man just knows how to make an exit, you know? Just
that was sports and like what's his name used to say? Daddy Magic, sports entertainment. That's what that was. That's what that was. When I tell you that needs to be a trio match. God damn it, Tony, you have a lot of lightning in the bottle. And this is like when the Acclaim first started killing it with the rats. I was like, God damn it, these guys are funny. This is fantastic. I don't care. We ain't doing nothing with the Trios belts. Put it on these guys. I want to laugh. Their gimmicks just happen to fit each other. And when this man said, thank you, Mr. Television. Ten out of ten, no notes. Match of the night, segment of the night.
I did a throwback piece this week for Sports Illustrated where I was looking at the 2019 Crown Jewel, and Mansoor was on that card. I think that was the card that he beat Claudio Castagnoli in a one-on-one matchup. But I'm just sitting here, I'm like, God damn, how far that man has come from, you know, really only being pushed for the Saudi Arabia shows to just being one of the most consistently entertaining men on television in professional wrestling. I'm so proud of that man. We had Roderick Strong going up against Shane Taylor. So this is the first one that Roderick Strong, this was his shot. He's got to win three in a row. He gets if he can win three in a row before Adam Cole does, he gets the shot at MJF, presumably at Full Gear. Roderick Strong going against Shane Taylor, who is an absolute hoss. This dude just chucking around Roddy Strong with absolute ease. Like, Roddy just built different. Like, could you imagine having to beat Shane Taylor and then two other dudes, and your only prize is you get to wrestle MJF after that, who you know is going to be doing some shady shit to you? Like, why are you putting yourself through this absolute torture and agony? But he ends up getting the win over Shane Taylor tonight. Kind of a scary spot, though, because the finish to this match did not look like it was supposed to be the finish, because Roddy hit the jumping knee, and then the referee was counting like Shane Taylor was supposed to kick out, and then he didn't, and they were just like, yep, nope, that's the match, it's over. And then afterwards you see the ref talking to Shane. So hopefully Shane is okay. But up until the end there, Iridian, I was enjoying myself with this one.
Yeah, this was also fun. I was also on the same boat when the ref counted to three, and then commentary was like, yep, that was three. Okay, I guess.
Really? If the ref's hand never hits the mat, is it still a three count?
I was like, if Nigel told me, I guess, sure, why not? But it is what it is. I do applaud Roddy because I think he had his moments in this match. You guys know my feelings towards Roddy. I've already said it previously in the episode. And that's all I got.
I got my food delivered during this match. So I don't have a lot of notes. So I want to be honest and give you guys unbiased journalism. My only note is everyone cheating, Roderick wins.
Okay, so what did you order?
I know what? I don't need you, my personal affairs. Right?
I was going to say, at least you could give us a food review. Unless you're ashamed. Tell me you ordered a quarter pounder. You can't be doing those right now. That's not safe, Cresta. I want you to be safe.
No, the quarter pounders are not. I was thinking about but I have a question. Is this the best of three still continuing between Shane Taylor and Roddy? Like, are they going to fight again next week, or is Roddy fighting somebody else?
No, I believe he's fighting somebody else. So it's kind of like with Adam Cole, right? He already beat buddy, and now he's wrestling Malakai on Wednesday. So okay. you're fighting three different people.
Okay. I got Chinese food.
Okay.
I just got chicken wings with white rice. But I did have a creme brulee in the refrigerator. So, you know, you have to do bruschetta. You have to mix the two together. So
I mean, it's okay. If you look, if you got the chicken Big Mac, it's fine. Like, you don't, we're not going to judge, you know.
In theory, it sounds good. But I think in practice, next match.
A regular Big Mac already has too much bread. You put two breaded chicken cutlets in a sandwich that has too much bread.
Rick, you are judging too much, okay?
That's what I do. I'm an analyst at the end of the day.
Oh, geez.
Listen, I talk shit about McDonald's, but on a bad night, this is me, a gremlin at the McDonald's. Let me get a large French fry and an apple pie. Let me get three of them. Yo, don't take the car.
Get the cash. Take it.
Just take it.
Speaking of Mickey D's, by the way, if you missed it, Cody Rhodes had some hella good stories about John Cena and McDonald's earlier this week. I would go out of my way to look at those, including that man giving up $100 bill so they would turn the damn ice cream machine on at midnight and give him a McFlurry. Like, hell yeah. Go, John Cena. You got it to throw it around. Our main event tonight was for the AEW Women's Championship. It was Mariah May versus Anna Jay. And I swear, at the end of this one, I thought we were about to get the Cody Rhodes Gunther finish again, because Anna Jay had the sleeper locked in, and Mariah did that whole flip roll thing, and they sold me down a river. They were about to do that exact same finish. Luckily, they didn't. But then Mariah just wins the damn match with a roll up anyway, Iridian. So again, fun match. I don't think the outcome was ever in doubt. I would have liked to have seen them, one, get a little bit more time, because they didn't start this match until about 9:51, 9:52. They did go over a little bit. Would have liked to have seen them get a little bit more time, but I'm nitpicking on that one. I also would have liked to have seen a different finish. But the improvement for Anna Jay, they put her over in commentary after her run overseas. It showed in this one for sure. She just continues to get better and better.
I love Anna Jay. I truly am a fan of her. I think, like a lot of the women that we see in AEW, they get better every time that we see them in the ring. And I think her run in Stardom really did serve her well. And the fact that she's going up against Mariah in a championship match, that says a lot. And I hope that she continues to be in that championship picture, because she deserves it. She's great. I loved her when she was with, when they were TJ, when it was Ty Conti and her in their tag team. And I think the crowd was pretty split between the two. I was like, okay, now we're getting a little bit of Mariah. We're getting a little bit of Anna. I love that the crowd was into it, but I did think it was a little bit like lackluster. I think it was missing something. And I think it was the time, because towards the end, it did start to get better. And I'm like, yes, like this is exciting. Let's do it. And then it was over
in the
way that we were like, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, that was my complaint too. It started so late. It did start like 9:51, like you said. And then like, maybe went to 9:52 and then went to commercial. And I'm like, hey, what are we doing here? again, shout out to Nigel McGuinness saying that Mariah May rose from the ashes of Brexit. This man, he deserves an award for being a yapper. And this is side note, after I saw a clip of him beefing with Claudio Castagnoli in Ring of Honor, and he called Claudio Baldio.
Damn.
He said, don't lose your hair, Baldio. It's nice to know that Nigel McGuinness has been a menace since the dawn of time. This match, like Iridian said, was really good towards the end. The side release German from Mariah and that headbutt she gave to Anna Jay, gnarly looking spots. But I felt like towards the end of it, when they did the Queen Slayer spot, somebody was like, next program, baby, wrap it up. Because I really hated that ending. I would rather her knock out Anna Jay. Not to say I want to see Anna Jay get knocked out, but I would rather see a clean finish. Because I think the match itself deserved that. But hey, you win some, you lose some. I mean, I don't know. This match was great. I liked it. I'm nitpicking myself. I too am nitpicking. This match was great. I just wish I had more time.
Do we think the next direction for Mariah May is Mina Shirakawa, with her on the way back for more AEW TV time? Is that the next direction? What do we think is next for Mariah May on this one? Because it still feels like she's in a bit of a holding pattern until Toni Storm comes back.
You know what? Just have her fight Mercedes at this point, like a belt for belt. Let's do something. because I feel like you keep building women up for Mercedes and you keep building women up for Mariah and nothing's happening. We're not going anywhere. So at this point, just have a fight each other and then we'll give it another go next year.
I mean, wild card. Have her fight Britt Baker.
When's Jamie Hayter getting her shot? What are we doing with Jamie
Hayter's aesthetic? Whatever 70s thing she got going on right now, I love you, Jamie Hayter.
I feel like they're really slow playing her right now, and I'm wondering why.
You think Hayter takes it off of Mariah? Because that would be a stiff match, and it would force Mariah to, like, wrestle.
I'm just looking at it. I'm like, when Jamie left, she was screwed out of the AEW Women's Championship. So obviously she comes back. She finishes, squashes the beef with Saraya, who was the one who put her on the shelf. Next, obviously the next logical step would be, I'm going to go get my damn belt back.
And that's all you need to say in the storyline is like, I was next. Okay, now here's my time. And everybody would be like, yes, that makes sense. Let's do it.
Yes.
They're
slow playing it with Jamie. I don't know why.
I need him to speed it up.
I'm just questioning. I'm impatient, damn it.
I think Mariah has one more feud in her before she drops her title. I will say that this is no fault of Mariah's. I do wish that there was something a little bit more after Tony, that there was something a little bit more meat on the bone, because I feel like after Tony left, they're like, okay, that's it. And I'm not saying that she did. It's no fault of Mariah. I'm not. Sure. I'm low key blaming creative. Am I being a negative Nancy after I gave up hating for Lent? Okay, whatever. I'm a hate.
No, you're just offering constructive criticism, because I could say the same thing for the Raw women's picture right now with Rhea Ripley out of the picture with a broken orbital socket. I'm like, all right, well, who's next for Liv Morgan?
That's
I don't
fair.
Fucking know. They ain't built anybody else up. So
you know, I'll even bring up this comment from Taylor Jones that says, give us more Johnny TV. We could have Taya Valkyrie versus Mariah May, and that would be different. That would be interesting. I'm just saying they have a whole depth of roster, and sometimes it's frustrating when someone's so hot and then there's nothing for them after that first hot streak. Mm-hmm. And that's a criticism I will say of quite a few wrestlers in AEW, that they got one hot thing and then afterwards it's kind of like.
And that's also something that they should have thought about, like, okay, when Mariah turns and that's it, and you know, you have this feud with Tony and this storyline was fantastic, what is she going to do afterwards? What happens after she gets that belt? And yeah, Tony's going to come back, but if they just throw her again into that feud, I'm going to be like, all right, we've seen this already.
Yeah.
Like, and you would think this is an issue that has been going on for years, and it always seems to be with the women's division. I remember after WrestleMania 35, Becky Lynch just made history. She won both titles in the main event. And what are we doing? Oh, we're going to continue her thing with Charlotte. And oh yeah, here's Lacey Evans, who literally has only walked down to the ring and walked back. Like, what are we doing? That's what you follow up with?
That's a fair
criticism. Somebody's been making the same mistake for years now, and it drives me absolutely bonkers. Iridian, what you got going on? Where can people find your stuff?
You guys can follow me at this username up here. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, TikTok, literally everywhere. And also head over to YouTube and follow me on Rest Friends. That's WREST Friends. I just bought more AEW cards. I'm going to be doing an unboxing. And honestly, I paid $100 for these cards.
Damn.
So it's going to be good, okay? It's going to be good. So go over there and watch. Cresta, what you got going on?
Guys, my name is Cresta Star. On Twitter, it's Cresta the Star. Follow me on all forms of social media. But I will be shutting my Twitter down come 2025. So please follow me on Blue Sky, and it's also Cresta. Every Wednesday, you can find me over on my Twitch and TikTok. I'm live watching professional wrestling with you. And every Thursdays and Saturdays, I am here over on Fightful with you guys, Joel Pearl, and Iridian and Rick on Saturdays, respectively. Rick, what do you got?
When we're all here next week? Are we going to do two in a row?
I believe so.
Oh, my God. We're going to do two in a row. And it's going to stop there because I got a radio show to do on the 16th. But, hey, two in a row is still a streak, all right? Two in a row is still a streak. Guys, you can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it, and Instagram at Rick Uccino, spelled like you see right there. That's the one-stop shop for all of my work, whether it's here on Fightful, whether it's for the takedown on SI for Sports Illustrated. By the way, we recently just launched a YouTube channel over there. So while I will always say, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow everything that we do here on the Fightful YouTube channel. In like 3 weeks, we've already gotten close to 400 subscribers on the Takedown on SI YouTube channel. So if y'all would mind, you know, hopping on over there, showing us a little love there. You know, we've had a lot of great interviews that have dropped on that channel with Adam Cole and Tiffany Stratton and Cora Jade and a few others, and we got more down the line. So appreciate the support there. And of course, again, follow me on X and Twitter at Rick Uccino, and that's where you can get all that good stuff. And we will be back next week talking about AEW Collision, which I believe will be what, a few days out from Full Gear at that point, about a week out. Man, this year is flying by. Flying by.
Yeah,
it's already
the end of the year. It's like, wrap it up. Next program, next year.
Wait a minute. Is tonight? Oh my God. Is it fall back tonight? Do we get an extra hour of sleep tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go. My kids ain't going to sleep in, so I don't know why I'm celebrating. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.